Welcome to the Way We Parent podcast, a podcast where we challenge the old paradigms of parenting and work on raising the next generation of rule breakers, because there is no way to be a perfect parent, but a million ways to be a good one. Everybody, welcome back to the Way We Parent podcast. This is episode 13, our last episode of season one. This is Paula speaking.
And this is Samantha. Yeah, so we're going to just chat about recapping our season, like some favorite moments that we've had with guests and preview for what's to come for season two. I can't believe that we did a whole season of a podcast, which, by the way,
I know
nobody tells you how long a season is. We could have done, you know, we just chose that ourselves. But still, we did a whole season of a podcast.
Summer is coming up and both of us are quite busy. So we just figured we would take the summer off. Enjoy it with our kiddos and get our life together before we start season two, which we're hoping will start sometime in the fall. But yeah, it's been so much fun doing this. It's a lot more work than we thought it would be, I think.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's mainly because we both run businesses outside of this. I mean, this it can't be the our full focus. As much as we both love it, it can't be our full focus. So because we have other businesses to focus on. And so that has been a struggle for me, because this is like our passion project. That's what I tell, like, say to my husband. That's what I tell people.
Yeah, it is. It totally is. And I mean, we've purposely chosen not to promote ourselves on here as well. Like, we don't do this to be like, hey, come and buy. I mean, obviously you guys get to know about us, and if you want to work with us, you can, but that's not the main purpose. We genuinely just want to create good content and have some good conversations. And I think it's important for people to know, like, we don't get paid for this.
No.
I mean, there's ads that we put on our,
I think we've made like what, like $2 from ad revenue, and you can't even like
and we spent more than that on our like intro
audio like when audio, you buy the
and
audio.
Our equipment and stuff,
so and like, our microphones and stuff. And I think it's so cool to share that, because people don't talk about this a lot. And it's something I really respect business people that, especially, you know, entrepreneurs, people that are like doing things, they're on their own path. I think it's good for people to know about that.
I think that's the new paradigm of business. To toot my own horn. Like, for real, I think that for sure, most of us grew up with, you don't talk about money. You don't share anything about money. You don't, you know, and I think nowadays that's not the case. That's not how we do things anymore. We do talk about these things because, you know, it matters. I actually remember watching something about this whole idea that you shouldn't share your salary with people, like with people you work with. It's so rooted in like oppressive systems, because what they found is that it's insane how in some industries people are paid so differently. And of course that means women get paid less. That means black folks get paid less. And, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to it other than the fact that that's what the boss decided. And so obviously it's not in the company's best interest for people to talk about it. And I remember even my job where I worked was like, nope, you're not supposed to talk about it. And people did anyways, of course, but like, you're not supposed to talk about it. And it's like, how can you stop? You legally can't stop people from sharing their salary with someone. And, you know, that's just not ethical or legal. So it's just really interesting. I think it's important to talk about these things and to share. Anyways, the point of it is that, you know, we're not trying to complain here, because obviously we've been incredibly fortunate to interview some incredible people, but it is a lot of work, and it is unpaid work, but we're loving it. So
one thing that surprised me about doing the podcast this season was just how much I learned from our guest. Obviously I knew I would learn stuff from them, so we're having brilliant people on to talk, but I just, before doing it, kind of had it in the frame of reference as like, I'm so I can give this content to other people, which of course we are doing that, and I'm happy that we get to do that. But I also just feel like so privileged that I've spoken to the people that we've spoken to this season and learned from them and talked to them. It's just like that part of it kind of blew me away how much I really feel lucky that I got to do that.
Yeah, it's been great. And we've had a lot of people, surprisingly, to us anyways, reach out wanting to be on the podcast. And actually that's another thing to be transparent about. We've actually said no to quite a few because they haven't quite aligned with our values. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we're bringing people that we believe in and that we align with. But yeah, I mean,
some people have aligned, but we were towards the end of our season and like literally had so many people already scheduled that we couldn't do it. So like that's surprising. Yeah.
We have so many guests in mind for next season because there's just so many people that we want to work with. So that's really exciting stuff. So yeah, it's been really good. You know, I can't really pick a favorite. They've all been so good.
What's like one of your favorite like tidbits from an interview or like, you know,
I have to say, I really love talking. I'm just looking at our list of episodes
here. Yeah. Yeah.
I really love talking to Lauren about unschooling. I think that was such a fun episode because, and I got a lot of good feedback from people about it just because it's something that is still very unknown. And I think it was so valuable to talk to someone who's been through it. I think that first person experience of, hey, look at me. I am a grown ass person paying my taxes and paying my mortgage. And I, you know, was unschooled. Like I am not a freak.
He's crazy. And how it benefited her to like be passionate about learning. That was super cool. And I think it's fun to get to know you, like their personalities come out and you're like, oh, I can see how you got into doing what you're doing. Yeah. You know, like Tracy Castles is such a passionate,
she's so fun,
like so smart, funny, like snappy kind of person. And you can see how she's like pushes back on research and stuff, you know, like I can totally see how she got into doing that. And
I think one of my favorite moments has to be when we asked Deborah McNamara about sleep training. And what did she say? She said, well, if somebody, this was about manipulating. She was like, if somebody thinks that their toddler is manipulating, maybe they don't have mixed feelings. And I was like, mic drop.
Yeah. That was a really good moment. Another one of my favorite moments. We were like, like, man, put the hammer down. Because that was a good moment.
She's so like proper and so knowledgeable,
and
you know,
kind.
Like we both kind of look at her as like a mom. Like she's just, she's just a mom figure about her.
Yeah.
And for her to just do that, it's just, it was the best. It was such a good moment.
Another, one of my favorite moments was actually not recorded, which is such a bummer. Can we say the F word on here, by the way? We're already explicit, right?
Whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. We can do whatever we want, Samantha.
So one of my favorite moments, too, was not recorded. And I so wish that it was. No, I don't think it was recorded with Rocio when we said, how's sleep training in Spain, where you live? Is it like, you know, how's sleep training over there? And she goes, same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Just like.
Yes, that was so good. We didn't record that.
No, she's so calm natured and so sweet and kind. And it just like threw me off for a loop when she said that. And I busted out laughing. I think you did too.
Yeah. I think, you know what one thing we learned, I think about halfway through is we started to record before we said like, let's start recording and like continued recording just to catch those moments, like to catch those unscripted, you know, not that any of it is scripted, but you know what I mean.
We'd be chatting with our guests and be like, wait, we should be recording this. Like,
yeah, I was like, that was
we'd
so
be
good.
Talking. Yeah.
So we learned that and, you know, you kind of learn those things along the way and, we've both gained editing skills and all of these.
Yeah.
I'm still,
I think you're still 10 notches above me on the editing, but I have gotten a lot better. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fun. And I think, I mean, even our interviewing skills, like we don't know how to interview people. Like we've just kind of figured it out as we've gone. And I think, you know, you guys probably know we're both guilty of kind of rambling on sometimes, but hey, that is what it is. It's been fun.
Listening to podcasts myself that are a mix of like personal and chatting and more informational and learning and stuff. So, I mean, also we're just like talkative people and passionate people. Yeah. So that's going to come out.
Yeah. So that's been super fun. Let me see. I'm trying to think of, I mean, there's just so many. So Dr. Carrion Duncan, we did the Trust in Your Parent Intuition with her, and Samantha had to leave because she had an appointment. So we stopped the episode. Actually, no, we continued, but anyways, we were on the call for like over an hour. It was just, she's just so easy to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I just want to have her on again. She's so good.
Yeah. She's really good. A few things that she said would like give me goosebumps before I had to leave that. She is just like comes off as a very intuitive presence, which makes complete sense for what she does. But she was super cool to talk to. I think another moment that I really liked from the season, Angelica Mercado Ford talked about how to approach your kids about if you think that they're in the closet, if you think that they're gay, if you think that they're bisexual or not identifying as, you know, what would be like typical. Is typical the right word? Yeah, I guess it could be kind of like neurotypical, but like expected maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cisgendered, heterosexual. Yeah. So she talked about like how to approach kids about that and how to talk to them. Yeah. And I just think that's powerful and important. And I was glad to promote that.
Think so too. Message. That was so good. And I think on that note, like the episode with Becca and Emerson was so amazing. Oh, yeah. And I think that was our first interview. So we were a bit nervous. And now thinking back on it, it's like, oh, it would have been so different like now, because I think we've kind of loosened up a bit. Mm-hmm. But they were just so sweet. And we learned so much from them. And I think
learned a lot.
Yeah. And I think what I love is that we've had a very diverse type of guests on the podcast. Like it's not just been experts. It's not just been parents, you know, it's been a little bit of different people from different walks of life who have different things to teach us. And I think that's what's beautiful about it. You guys get a bit of an insight into our mind, which is that we're both very scattered people.
Yep, for sure. I have a bajillion things I'm focused on all at once. And I think that comes across on the podcast, but it can be a good thing. Speaking of, so Tracy Baxley in our social justice parenting episode, we talked about I can't remember if this was recorded or not, because we haven't edited that at the time that we're recording this. We haven't edited that yet, so I don't know. But there is a biracial couple in my neighborhood that we've seen at the playground a few times with a daughter who's my daughter's age. Exactly. Tracy Baxley on the episode encouraged me to reach out to them to like see if they want to hang out. And my husband and I we're not outgoing people. Like we're not from here. We've lived in like four different states. We're used to not really putting down roots where we live. And so that's just kind of what's natural to us, is like, we're just not very, you know, outgoing.
Right.
Well, we haven't seen them since that episode. We have not seen them. And we've tried. Like, I've been hoping that every time my husband takes Emery to the playground, I'm like, hey, was that guy there with his daughter? Did you talk to them? And he's like, no, they're not there. I've walked by their house like a creeper multiple times trying to catch them outside, and I've not caught them. I don't
think Tracy told you to stalk them.
I know. I told her that. So she messaged me. She followed up. She said she was going to follow up with me.
She's the best.
She messaged me yesterday and was like, hey, just checking in to see if you've talked to your neighbor and how it's going. And I was like, yeah, we haven't seen them. And like, I'm not lying to you. We've been talking about it. Like, we really have not seen them. And I was like, I've walked by their house on my daily walks. And I don't ever see them out. And I was like, is it weird if I knock on their door? And I was like, I literally don't know if that would be super weird or if that could be a normal thing to do, because I'm so not outgoing that it just seems so insane to me to do that. That I don't know if it's actually like, And she said, you could totally do that. You could just say, hey, we've seen you at the playground before and we saw you outside the other day or something. And like, our daughters are the same age. Just want to know if you want to have a play date or hang out.
Be my friend.
For real. Please be my friend. And it was just so encouraging. And that's another person that
I just can't believe she followed up with you. Like, oh, that's yeah, incredible. She, totally, she is a busy woman.
She's so busy. I totally would not have, you know,
it's incredible. That just shows twice you her if character she didn't do that. And how much of a good person she is. Like, she just mm-hmm. means well, and she wants to help. And that, oh, that is
speaking of, she posted really on her Instagram, she said, it is not my, it's probably not these exact words, but it basically said, it is not my duty to teach white people about how to raise anti-racist children. It is my choice. Mm. And I was like, oh my gosh, just reading the caption on that post from her was, she is like a top-notch person, really. Yeah. She is very selfless, and she's another one like Deborah McNamara that feels like motherly to me, where literally. I'm like, can you like, can I will you adopt me and, yeah. and like let me her and talk Deborah to you?
Would be like the best moms in the world.
yeah
it would be. Yeah, no, that's so cool. Yeah, and I mean, I learned a lot from her too, because I did ask her about my son and you know, what it's like to raise biracial children. And I thought mm-hmm. that was really helpful what she said. And I mean, I've been learning more about it since then as well. And the concept of allowing him to choose his own identity. Mm-hmm. Because it's, if you start to look around, like even within the Black community, within any community, there's so much difference of opinion of how a child should identify.
Yeah.
And I think he is going to experience people telling him he's not white enough, he's not Black enough, he's not whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have to make his own way. And I think I just really appreciated her expertise on that as well. So that was a nice mm-hmm. little moment for myself personally.
Yep. Yep. And how humble she was able to be about her own parenting, how she parented her kids. I thought a lot about that because her kids are older now. And I think her oldest daughter is a young adult, right? I think she's like
19 or something college? Like that.
Yeah. So just saying how, you know, she was doing her best at the time, but like, there's still things that she maybe, I don't want to say like caused issues, but they're, you know, just, kind of like that, like nobody's quote perfect, unquote, basically.
Messed up, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I just really admired that she was able to do that. And it gave me kind of planted the seed in my head of like, okay, I need to be doing that with my daughter. Like I, as much as I try to learn about parenting and work on my parenting skills, I'm not going to be perfect. And I want to be able to be humble about that and open. And in little ways, she's only two right now, but I still do it. If I get frustrated and like yell about something, I say like, hey, you know, a minute ago when mommy yelled because you threw flour all over the kitchen floor or whatever, and I'm like, you know how I yelled and raised my voice? I was really upset, but that was not a nice thing to do, to yell. And, you know, I can handle that in a different way. And I don't know, it just made me feel like it's an important skill to have as a parent.
Absolutely. I mean, I do it all the time too. I mean, we've been, as you know, house hunting, and it's been really stressful. And so my mm-hmm. husband and I will be having these conversations while my son is playing, and he wants our attention, and we're just kind of like, you know, frustrated. So then he starts throwing things, and he starts getting frustrated, or he starts putting things down my shirt and being like annoying. And so, and then, you know, we get frustrated with him, but then I'm like, I'm so sorry. I know you just want me to pay attention to you, but you know, we're busy. And so, yeah, I'm constantly apologizing. It's not his fault that we're busy. Yeah. We have things on our mind. He just wants
and they have a one track mind. They don't, you know, like he doesn't know you guys are talking about important house stuff. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the capacity to recognize what you're doing. It's just like, I like my mommy and daddy. I want them to look at me, you know, like, That's I try it. To simplify they don't have mixed her feelings, thoughts,
remember, right? So
yeah, it's not, no mixed it's feelings.
Not, I'm really mad right now, but I love mommy, so I'm not going to hurt her. That is a skill that does not happen until a child is at least 5 mm-hmm. years old, sometimes 9. So, you know, he can only say, I am upset right now. That's it. Yep. That's all his brain can handle. And he's going to act on that. So that's really important, I think.
It is. A handful of times now, Emery has said to myself or my husband, I don't like you. And the first time she did it, I cried. I'm not going to lie, because it was a very bad day already. And like, we were kind of fighting, and I was just, you know, battling her. Like, we were in a toddler battle. And she said that. And I was like already on the brink of tears. And then I cried. And, but now I realize like in the moment, she's being truthful. She really doesn't like us because she doesn't have, like you said, they don't have mixed feelings. So she's not thinking like, they're trying to make me get in the car seat and I don't want to, but I know they love me and this is to keep me safe. And so I'm going to let them do it. No, it's, I don't want in the car seat and he's making me do it. So I don't like you.
Yeah.
And, I've even said to her, like, it's okay if you're upset with me right now in the moment. I understand that you're upset with it, but we still have to do X, Y, and Z or whatever.
Right.
Cause that's what she's trying to convey. Not genuinely that she doesn't like us always.
No, she just doesn't like you in that moment. And that's fair. And the thing is they will come up with the most hurtful thing, right? And so now it's, I don't like you. I'm sure at some point it's going to be, I hate you. You're the worst mommy in the world, right?
Yeah.
Kids do that and parents get so mad and they're like, we need to, you know, punish them. And it's like, no, they're just showing their frustration.
Yeah.
Some kids, I've even heard of kids saying, I wish you'll die, you know?
Yeah.
Just really awful things. And yeah, it sounds horrible, but again, it's age appropriate. I've recently, you know, in the last year, I've also heard parents say their kids will say things like, I hope you get coronavirus, you know? And again, like it's awful. Obviously I wouldn't want any adult to say that, but if it's a 3-year-old saying that, they're just, you know, products of their environment. So,
and we have to try not to take it so personally. Exactly. And try to reframe what they're doing. Cause even if a 5-year-old says like, I hate you that you're my mom. I wish I had a different mom.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't
well,
mean
what
that.
They're actually, no, what they're actually telling you is I'm so upset right now. And I feel like I don't have any power over this situation. And so I want to take back my power and show you that I'm upset. It's not, they don't hate you. They don't wish you weren't their mom. Like, but that's how they can convey it in the moment because of that kind of like blocked out. That's how they feel in the moment. And I think it's okay to talk about it later, like let them calm down. And then it's, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I feel like if Emery was 5 years old and said that to me later, I would talk to her about that and say, it seems like you're really upset with me and you're really mad and frustrated and feeling kind of powerless saying without saying it. Like, I know you don't really mean that. And what you really felt was this, you don't have to spell that out, but that's basically what you're saying.
And you're just basically, and then in that moment, you're modeling how to properly solve a conflict. You don't have to say, don't do that. You're just showing them
that's so true.
There's another way to do it. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's my, you know, my understanding, but I'm also not in that stage right now.
Yeah. No, I struggle a lot with like, I've even said to Emery, I've caught myself before saying like, that really hurt mommy. And then I'm like, oh, well, is that the right thing to convey in this moment? You know, I mean,
there's it's no hard. Right or wrong, right? Like there's no one way to do things. I think a school of thought is that, like we don't want to put that on them. Like it's not their responsibility to make us happy. So I agree with that to an extent, but I also think we're human and sometimes you're just going to say like, you hurt me or you, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I think everything in moderation, you know, I'm also a believer that I totally believe that it's good to not overly praise our kids all the time. And yet I still say good job to my son all the time. Like,
Gosh, I say good job so much. And when I start recognizing it, I get mad at myself. And then I'm like, it's just so ingrained.
I try to correct myself. Right. But you know, I think I'm ruining my child because I've said good job to him a few times? No, he says it. So he actually, it's really cute. Yesterday he pulled all his trains out of the box that they're in and like put them on the ground and stacked them up and whatever. And then he was like, good job.
Oh, that's so cute. Have I told you that Emery, when we're going, if she sees us going to the bathroom, she says, you peed, mom. And then she says, good job, mom.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, it's so
it's like so mama potty, mama potty.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, kid, I'm going potty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, kids are fun. So that's been our, we've had a lot of really fun experiences this season. I actually, you know, thought it would be fun though to ask, what are you doing with your business right now? Where can people find you, Samantha?
I just was thinking about that.
Yeah.
That we should talk about. Yeah. Well, in the midst of our podcast, I think I don't know if I talked about it. I might have. I switched my brand name, yeah, from Mama B to just my name. So at Samantha.Tully on Instagram, and then my website is SamanthaTully.com. And I'm still kind of deciding if there's things I want to add to what I offer, if I want to expand what I'm doing and my content, or I just don't, I don't really know. So I do, I have gone back to doing breastfeeding basics and all about newborns prenatal classes on live online virtually. And so that has been good. People like the live virtual classes. And so that's going to stick around.
Awesome.
I still have my milk supply guide ebook up, and I love that content. I feel like hopefully it's really helpful for people that want to learn what affects milk supply and how it does that.
Amazing.
And then the night weaning webinar recording is still up for sale. And then one big thing that's on my list this summer is I'm going to revamp my Pumping 101 course. So I took it down, and I'm going to refilm the videos and make a new ebook for it and kind of revamp my Pumping 101 and then hopefully release that in the next few months. So that's kind of my next big thing. And then you and I are going to do a project together. Should we say that?
Can we
say
it? Talk about it? I think we should.
Okay.
I think we should. Yeah. That's really fun.
Okay. All right. Well, you tell me about what you're doing and then we'll talk what we're doing together.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I am all over the place always. No.
So I am too. I change all the time.
I'm always doing one-on-one support. So that's always available. I have different package options for people. I really try to have it really open so that people can afford it at different levels and depending on what they need. So starting with like 30-minute calls all the way to monthly packages.
I also do consults. I didn't say that, but yeah.
Yes.
Mini and full virtual consults and
in-person
and tech support that you can add. And yeah, in-person for local clients. So same. Yeah. I like having the tiers of the mini and the full with like longer call or more follow-up is kind of a big one for the full virtual consults. And I still really enjoy working one-to-one with clients. Do you like that part of it too?
I do. I do think though, I enjoy the teaching quite a bit. Like I really do love doing webinars and I love doing courses. It's just, I mean, I'm an ECE, right? Like the teacher aspect of things is kind of my jam. So
I love teaching too, but you know, what's been harder for me is teaching online versus in person.
I didn't get to do that. Like I started.
Yeah. You didn't teach
to, you know, always been online. Yeah. So I'm sure I would love it in person better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it's really fun in person. Yeah. Go on. Yeah. What else?
Sorry. So I have some webinars coming up. I guess by the time this releases, they'll be done, but doing some webinars on normal sleep. I have a course. I also have a night weaning course. And I'm planning on releasing a independent sleep course masterclass.
That'd be great.
Because that's honestly the most asked about topic. People are constantly asking me about independent sleep. So there's going to be a course on that. And I'm really excited about it because one thing, you know, it's interesting, right? Like everything kind of happens for a reason. There's part of me that's like, why didn't I do this before? You know, but I've done the independent sleep from bed sharing webinar a couple of times. I've done it inside my membership. So I've been able to really add to it, learn from people, learn from my one-on-one clients. So I've been able to really kind of add more to it. My editing skills have gotten better.
Yeah.
So I can make nicer videos. I know how to add subtitles now, like all of these things to make this a really good course. So I'm very excited for that. That should be dropping.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Hopefully in the next couple of weeks. And then, you and I are working on a course together, which I'm super pumped about. I think it's going to be so helpful for people.
So we're going to be doing a course together that we're working on. And I think it'll be really helpful to encompass sort of like breastfeeding support, feeding support, newborn sleep, baby sleep. So our course, we're going to focus on the 4-month progression. And so it's going to focus on the changes developmentally that your baby is going through and things that we often see with sleep. And then also with feeding and breastfeeding, because both those things, sleep and breastfeeding, change a lot around 4 months.
Yeah.
So, having the two things combined, sleep and breastfeeding with a developmental focus, I think is going to be super beneficial. And really helpful really for anyone with a 0 to 6 month old. I think like approaching the 4 month time frame is an awesome time to would be to do that course. But also, you know, if you've already been through the 4 month and you're kind of dealing with the after effects of it, right. Still helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, I, for sure. And I do think it's so crucial to combine feeding and sleep. Like they go hand in hand. I mean, both of mm-hmm. us, it's funny, both of us have done night weaning courses with you. You worked with another sleep and well-being specialist. I worked with another lactation specialist.
Yep. So,
you know, because those things go hand in hand, and sleep yeah. and feeding absolutely go hand in hand, and not in the ways people think.
Yeah.
But it's so important. And actually, you know, for my certification, my sleep certification, I had to take a breastfeeding course. Not like I'm not a like, you know, certified counselor or anything like that, but just breastfeeding mm-hmm. basics, because it is important to know that, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's going to be super, super helpful to have both of those things in place. We're going to give you all of our tools to get you through those times, but really also just to understand what is happening.
Understand what's going on. Yeah. And like with breastfeeding, during this window is oftentimes where I see that your milk supply starts to regulate, and it can happen sooner. Everybody's different, but oftentimes around the 3 to 4 month mark, your milk supply really regulates. And we mm-hmm. oftentimes think that our milk supply is like going way down. And what's been frustrating to me is some of the sleep culture online and sleep advice for the 4 month sleep regression, as they often call it, instead of like progression and thinking in terms of development, some of that advice really hinders breastfeeding success. And most of it really, like it's not yeah. supportive it's not of how your milk supply works, how your body works, what it responds to, making sure baby's getting enough. Their needs really increase during this time. Often, you know, we see them like cluster feeding and needing more night feeds, and because they're going through so much growth and development. Mm-hmm. And so some of this advice is like fairly detrimental to the breastfeeding relationship. And I just hate to see that.
Because I've heard people don't know. Have you seen this? And I've heard this from a lot of lactation counselors that they often see clients at that 4 month mark when people have started sleep training. And so they'll see a parent sleep train, and then their baby, all of a sudden the baby's having or like failure to thrive or something like that, because they're not feeding mm-hmm. as much as they need to. Have you seen that come up?
Absolutely. What I've seen probably the most, this is maybe just anecdotal to like what mm-hmm. I have dealt with clients, but moms that are working and pumping all day, a lot of the day, and then they cut out night feeds because they're doing some sort of like, oh, we're going to soothe in other ways and we're not going to do night feedings. And they suddenly are waking more at night. And so to help that, we're not going to feed them when they wake with nursing. So sorry. Yeah. Their body drops their milk supply so much that then they can't pump enough milk during the day. And so then they come to me saying, my milk supply has gone way down and I can't pump enough milk for what he's taking at daycare. Mm. But then come to find out, like when I dig deeper, they have cut out night feeding, at least to some extent, like they're trying to not feed as much or they're cutting out feeds or whatever. Yeah. And it's not like all hope is lost if these things happen. Like we can kind of get back on track and help your supply, but sometimes we don't get back 100% to where we were before. And I just hate to see that happen because
that's unfortunate.
Yeah. And it's also not very supportive of what they're actually going through and what their needs are, because they really need more nutrition during that time. And so not only are we removing their nutrition at night, so they're getting less, then your milk supply lowers, so they're getting less during the day too. So it's ultimately
We also have to think about the emotional component, right?
Like
if your little baby is in daycare all day, I think taking away that night nursing, which is probably one of the biggest sources of comfort for them, mm-hmm. you know, I would really reconsider. And again, and I don't want to sound judgmental. Like I understand that people have their needs. This is everything that Samantha and I want to argue against, right? I don't think moms should be forced to go back to work as early as they have to in the United States. All of that stuff is not okay. Like it's inhumane that we expect these things from women. Mm-hmm. But it's happening, you know, And yeah, I would really, you know, if you do have to spend the time away from your child, I would really consider more closeness at night. I would really consider bed sharing and all of those things to give them that closeness and comfort that they are not getting during the day. But again, I totally understand if that's not possible.
Nothing has to be 100% all or nothing. That's something that I think is really important. When we give advice online, I put this through the lens all the time as a professional giving professional quote unquote advice online. Yeah. I never want it to come across as cutting night feeds means your supply goes lower. So you can't do anything about night nursing ever. And you have to, you know, it's like nothing has to be all or nothing, but I also want everyone to have the knowledge and the information and the, you know, feel empowered to make the right choice for their family, knowing what that means. Because if you don't know about the like emotional needs and effects of what we're doing with babies or their development and what they're going through or how your milk supply works and how those changes affect, you know, in your body.
Yeah.
I just think we should all have access to that information to make the choices.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we're really excited. I think this course is going to be really good and it's going to combine a lot of our expertise and, we're working on that, but also, how is life this summer? Do you have any plans?
Mm-hmm. Well, we might go back to Indiana. We're both from Indiana. We are debating about taking a road trip. It's about a 13-hour drive, and we were considering driving back to Indiana at some point. Mm-hmm. We're going to go out to the Black Hills. We live in South Dakota, and the Black Hills are like 4 hours west of us out in the mountains. And so we probably will go out there at some point. We have a 4th of July trip with our friends from Nebraska that we always go see their family. They have two little kids. And we are going to stay in a cabin with them during that time. And then we will do some sort of something trip in August that we don't know where we're going to go yet. We like to travel and take many trips. And we, so of course in 2020, we didn't do a lot of that. We did none of it actually. Well, that's not true. Right before the pandemic, January, we flew with Emery to New Orleans for a weekend. In February, we flew with Emery to Florida. And then when we got home from Florida is when the pandemic hits. We actually did get in a little, but the rest of the year.
And then you went to Florida the next February too, right?
Yeah. Yep. This February we went again. And that was our first trip that we had taken since the pandemic. So yeah, we kind of want to hop back into our normal travels. That's a big part of just something that we always prioritize and want to do. So I hope we get to do a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I have my 6 chickens in the backyard and my garden. And so we, when we're not traveling, we're like super homebodies.
Well, so what do you do with the chickens when you're gone?
We have a pet sitter that's always come for our dog and our cat. We've never boarded them. We just have somebody that comes to our house. So she luckily is fine with also taking care of chickens. And so she'll do the chicken care every day that she comes to.
Cool.
Chickens are super cool. Do you know? Okay. I don't want to get off on a chicken tangent, but they have a coop and then they have a little door that goes out to their fenced in run, kind of like a pen in the backyard so that they can be outside. And they just put themselves in the coop at night. Like they go up their little ramp in the door and they get in there before dark every single night. It's like instinct for them to go to their roost.
So cute.
So they go in and then we have an automatic door that closes when it gets dark. And then the automatic door opens when it's light out in the morning so they can come out. And so they just literally like put themselves to bed every night. And then in the morning when I wake up, they're already up because the door is opened automatically when it's light out and they come out and they're pecking around.
It's so cute.
Yeah. So really all she has to do is feed them and fill their water.
So fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, same with cats, right? Cats are pretty low maintenance.
Mm-hmm. It's our dog that's the high maintenance one. Holy shit.
Yeah, I was
going
to say dogs are high maintenance.
She's so high maintenance.
That's so fun though.
Very high maintenance. She's still trying to kill the chickens. We're working on it, but that's why they have a nice pen so that they can be safe from her.
Oh my God.
She almost killed a baby bunny yesterday.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
And she's about the size of a baby bunny. So it's interesting. She's so high maintenance. So what are you doing this summer? You're looking for a house. That's what you're doing.
Oh God. We'll see if that happens. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hopefully we're moving this summer.
Yeah, you're going to be so busy.
It's going to be crazy. And also, my husband and son both have summer birthdays. Our anniversary, my husband and I, is on Juneteenth.
Okay.
So we have that going on. We are going away for Canada Day, which is July 1st. That weekend, we're going to a cottage with some friends. We're really looking forward to that because it's been a while since we've gone away. We had a cottage booked back in February, and because of the lockdown here in Canada, we weren't able to go.
Bummer.
This time, I don't even care if we're still in lockdown. I don't care if Doug Ford is listening to me. We're going.
Good for you. Lockdown. How is it, by the way, are you still locked down? What's happening there now?
Yeah.
What the hell?
They announced a reopening plan, and I think June 2nd, some things are gonna, and by some things I mean non-essential shopping and just very patios. It's patios, because that's still closed, restaurant patios.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh.
And it's gonna be a max of 4 people per table. It's super restrictive still. Supposedly we're going to be back to normal by end of summer. I don't believe it. I think we're going to continue to stay in lockdown because they've kept us in lockdown.
Are they getting more vaccines out? Is the vaccine rate increasing?
It's been opening. It's opened up to anybody. Well,
okay.
I think 12 and over or 14, yeah. 14 and older. So yeah. So it's happening a little bit faster, but yeah, it's definitely not as fast as the States. But yeah, I don't know. I just it's been difficult. It's made it that much more difficult to search for houses too.
I bet. And it's very weird how you're not really that far from me in South Dakota. I'm Northern United States and you're Southern
South Canada.
Of Canada. I mean, we're not that far from the Canadian border. So, I don't know. Yeah. It's wild to think how different, because here, all the mask requirements are gone pretty much. Now the CDC says we don't even have to wear masks. There's no restrictions, which I'm not saying if it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's wild that our recommendations are so different.
Yeah. I think we're going to be wearing masks indoors for another year. I feel that's, which honestly I have no issue with, but let me go to the friggin' store. This is what makes no sense to me.
If you're still requiring
can't I go buy clothes? I can't go buy clothes for my son. Dumb. Who is entering a new season and has obviously outgrown everything. He needs shoes. He needs new sandals and all of these things. And shopping online is not the same. I need to be able to go look at the things. And so I can't even go buy that. Explain to me how going shoe shopping with a mask on at lowered capacity is going to give me COVID. It makes no sense. So these rules are so insane. And they just this past weekend opened up golf courses and tennis courts. Gosh.
Holy crap. How is the economy even handling that?
I don't even know. I don't even
seriously
know.
How are businesses at least here, doing that?
We do have more support from the government.
That's true. You have the money stipends.
People
and
are
stuff,
still in people are still on that's called CERB, or is it called CRB, Canadian, I forget what it's called, but there's a monthly income for people who've lost their jobs and things like that. No, businesses are not surviving, especially in downtown Toronto, where we've been talking about the real estate in here is insane. So people who had businesses in Toronto, especially restaurants and stuff, so many have had to close, have not survived it.
So sucky.
I think really what this does is it highlights the inequality, right? Because the poor get poorer, the rich get richer, because that's what you've seen. I see in this, I'm in a weird mixed neighborhood where there's a lot of, there's low income and then there's high income. Anyways, there's these big, beautiful $1 million houses in this neighborhood, and people who suddenly had to work from home with their children. And sure, it sucks, you have to work from home and have your kids and all that, not taking that away from them, but they're saving their daycare money that, in Toronto daycare is easily $2,000 a month per kid. So if you had two kids in daycare and suddenly you're staying home, you're saving almost $4,000 a month, you know, right. that you're seeing so many people renovating their homes and all of these extra things they have money for while yep. people are suffering and losing their businesses. So again, it's just highlighting so that crazy. Inequality, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer.
Yeah.
And then as I discuss, I'm going to get on a rant here. So many of you guys
Go
are going
to
quote unquote unfollow us, but I was explaining to you earlier, they changed some of the rules to make it a little bit harder for people to qualify to buy a house, supposedly because Canadians have too much debt. It's like, okay, that's great. And to supposedly slow down the housing market, which is out of control, except the only people this affects is really first time home buyers like us.
And so, in a certain like price range, because if you're buying like a multi-million dollar home, it doesn't really matter what interest rate cap they put on your approval. Like you're going to get approved for it. You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly.
So it really affects like the middle, like and middle market, income. Like,
exactly.
yeah, like lower yeah. income or middle class income that should be able to afford a nice house or like not getting
it. Because
approved.
What's going to happen is it's not going to lower the house prices because there's still going to be people who are going to be ready to buy those houses. Now there's going to be even more competition in the lower income or in the lower housing bracket because of people who can't afford. So,
right. And they don't get a shot. If you can't get approved, you don't even have a chance. Like you're. Yeah.
So to anybody who thinks Canada is better than the States, I do think we are in many ways.
I think there's a lot of issues here. There is issues. Yeah, for sure. I do think that you're better than us still. You come out on top, but that is some bullshit with the housing market. That is horrible.
Yeah. Just cost of living in general is very high in Canada.
Yeah.
Even though we have free healthcare and all of that stuff, but you know, so it's been an interesting year. I'm just kind of mm-hmm. over it. So yeah, hopefully we'll be out of lockdown this summer. Hopefully we'll be able to visit more people, maybe have play dates. That would be super nice.
Mm-hmm.
My poor son does not know how to interact with other children. Also part of his personality, but I mean, he's never been to daycare. He's great with people he knows and stuff, mm-hmm. but yeah, he's just like, does not know how to interact with other children. And I mean, again, he's young, so I don't want to like scare anybody. If your kid is home and
no,
they're a toddler,
they'll learn.
They'll be fine. Like I think he'll be fine, but mm-hmm. I would like him to have a little more practice.
Yeah.
And I'm not ready to have another one. So that's
yeah.
be a part of it. Yeah. So he's just like, it's just so funny. Oh my goodness. But he's at such a funny age. I know I'm going off topic. He loves trucks, cars, all that stuff. Right. So we're outside and he's watching the buses and he's like, bus that way. And he's like pointing and like telling them which way to go.
Cute.
He's so bossy. It's so funny. And I'm like, oh gosh, like, this
you know
is
what
be
I struggle
so
with?
Interesting.
Emery's so friendly to other little kids. Like she's so friendly and like pretty outgoing. She is not shy and she loves going up to other little kids and she's so sweet. And when other kids don't engage with her or they're not nice to her, I am like, I'm really struggling with that because I don't want her little spirit to get broken. You know, like she's
so sweet.
That
would be her with my son though. Cause my son would totally just stare at her and like look terrified.
Well, also he's younger though. I'm talking like, so like one day she was talking at the playground to like a 4-year-old.
Oh, okay.
And she's like, wanna play with me? She like goes right up to him and she'll say, come here, come on.
Oh,
and she'll
so
like put her hand out and she's just like, looks so, her face is so open and vulnerable. And sometimes they'll just be like, stare at her with give her like this weird look and like walk away, or they'll be like, no. And
no.
Then she just kind of like her face falls a little and then she just like goes and plays. But I just want to be like, Emery, keep asking them to play with you. Like you're so sweet and so kind to these kids.
That's
and I just
so
want to
cute.
Smack some of them. This is horrible. But I just want to be like, hey, she is being nice to you. Go play
you
with
play
her.
With my child. Yeah.
It's so hard. Like my husband is the same way. We're both like, where did this outgoing, super outgoing, friendly kid come from? Because neither of us are outgoing or
so
friendly.
Like, that's so the opposite of mine. He's so not like that. He just
yeah.
sits there and stares at kids at the playground.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. He's a lot like my husband. That's my husband. He'll
yeah.
meet people and he's an observer first. Like,
yeah,
he's not outgoing with new people, but I just think it's so funny how they have their personalities. And yeah.
Yeah, they do, because really, like, neither of us are outgoing like that. And she just totally is. And she has no problem going up to older kids, younger kids. She will, like, talk to babies. She talks to toddlers. She asks them to play with her. She tries to give them toys. And then she claps for herself and says, "I shared." And she, like, will just ask anybody to play with her. And she'll say, "Come on. Come down the slide," to kids. Like, and I just, yeah, it's really hard for me to watch her face fall though when, like, kids don't engage back with her. And I know it's normal, and, like, it's normal that kids are shy or more reserved. I'm joking about, like, blaming the kid, but it's just hard for me to watch that moment when her face falls and, like, you know, I just want to be like,
This is going to happen when our children go to school, and when
it's just the start, bullied,
and it's just like, I know.
It's just the start of, like, having to let them be in the world and wanting to, like, protect them 24/7 and not let them be vulnerable. Like, I can see how tempting that is just even at 2 years old.
I know. I can imagine. It's going to be really hard to let go. I think that's life though. But I feel like he can hold his own, you know. I feel like he does not lack self-love.
About all the variety of, like, personality types in adults, you know, and it doesn't mean just because somebody's not super outgoing doesn't mean they're not healthy and thriving.
Oh God, no, yeah.
Like, you know, happy in life. And same for the opposite is true. Yeah. Just because somebody's outgoing a lot and gets shut down a lot doesn't mean that they're not going to be happy and keep doing it. So I'm trying to just let her, like, find her own way, but, you know. I love her personality coming out and how you can sometimes see things that are, like, from you, or, but then also there's things that she does where I'm like, that's neither of us. That is her. Like,
I think it's, like, the cutest too when they start to do, like, funny things and, like, they know it's funny.
Oh my gosh. When they can
be silly and you're just like, wow, like, how do you even know? How did you, like, you know, like, you just have to think about the level of comprehension to understand that this thing is silly and it's funny.
Yeah.
I just love that so much when he does that.
Did I tell you about Chocolate Ninis? I can't remember if I told you that.
Maybe.
So she calls nursing Ninis. So when she wants to nurse, she says, "Can I Nini? I have a Nini. Nini, mom." Oh, yeah. And one day, just out of the freaking blue, well, she likes chocolate milk, of course, like regular milk.
Yeah.
But she, like, sat in my lap and she goes, "I want chocolate Ninis." And I'm like, I just busted out laughing. I'm like, chocolate Ninis? What the heck? You can press
this button and get chocolate Ninis.
And she started laughing. And then she goes, "Chocolate Ninis." And then I was laughing and she was laughing. And then that's she so fake cute. Laughs. When we laugh at her, she goes like this.
Oh.
You guys can't see what I'm doing, but, like, she makes, like, a fake laugh face.
My fake laughs too.
Oh, so funny.
He does it with noise. Like, you just go, Well, my husband and I will be talking, like, to each other, and then we'll start laughing, and he goes, just like, oh my God. Or, like, we'll be
talking. He's like, yeah, it's funny. I get
it. My husband will, like, be really animated sometimes, like, when he's telling me a story or whatever. And then my son will just go, like, he's just, like, copying. It's so funny. He gets all riled up. Like, he's, like, the best hype boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually, I can hear him outside right now doing the same thing. He's outside the door.
Did he hear you?
Yeah. And he's hyping me up.
All right. Well, we'll maybe wrap it up with that, since he's hype boying you and wants to come in probably.
Yeah.
And I need to hop off and get ready anyway for my.
Yeah, of course. This has been so much fun.
I know. We can't wait for season two. We hope you'll stick around. And, oh, should we say too, so we're likely not going to continue our Instagram for the Way We Parent podcast because of the fact that we want to find a way to keep the podcast going, but also we run very busy social media accounts for our business. And so we will share about it on our business accounts always, new episodes. So make sure you follow us there. I am at Samantha.Tully on Instagram. And Paula, you share your...
Yeah, I'm at New Paradigm Motherhood. And we'll be sharing about our episodes. I think we're going to shut it down soon. We just don't have the bandwidth right now.
No. But we'll share always...
Maybe we should set up a Patreon for next season. I don't know. You guys let us know if you want to.
I think it could be a really good idea. And this is something that... I try to get behind as a consumer is like, there are people whose information I consume. Yeah. Like if I'm consuming them regularly, truly enjoying them and want to support them and appreciate their content, I think it's great to have the option to support them. And it can be very little. I mean, we're not talking like a Patreon where this is like a pricey thing. So yeah, maybe we'll talk about that and announce that or something later on. I think it could be a cool optional thing.
Yeah,
to do.
Totally. If you want to support us and but in the meantime, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let us know which episode was your favorite. Let us know what you want to see more of. Please do leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you have the time, or if you use Apple Podcasts. I know that's super every helpful. Podcaster tells you that and it's super annoying, but it honestly really helps us for other people to find us. And of course, tell your friends and share it wherever.
Absolutely. Super helpful. And we appreciate you. And we're excited to jump back into it in the fall. So in the meantime, I hope everybody has a wonderful summer.
Yeah. Or winter if you're in the Southern Hemisphere.
Absolutely. Yep. And, Okay. All right.
Sounds good. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Way We Parent podcast. If you enjoyed it, please leave a review on iTunes to help others find us. Share it with your friends and tag us on Instagram at The Way We Parent Podcast. Let us know who you want to have on next or what topics you want us to cover. See you next time.